Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ghoul Society.
That's my big sister, Jamie.
And that's my little sister, Sarah. We are grateful to be recording on the stolen, unceded territories of the Esquimalt, Songhees, Lekwungen, and Wasanich First Nations, whose historical relations with the land continue to this day. The fight against colonial violence and racism is ongoing, and we at Ghoul Society are committed to this fight within ourselves, our friends, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you've officially been inducted into the Ghoul Society.
Nailed it.
Nailed it, slowly but surely.
Nailed it.
We did it.
No prompts needed.
No prompts. I'm going off the cuff here.
You are.
We're recording on the bed today.
It's so much comfier.
It's way better.
Yeah, it is. Now we have our Zoom recorder.
Yeah, now we can go anywhere.
We can go anywhere.
We can do whatever we want.
We could do it in the car.
We could go to the park.
We could go to the park.
We can go to the ocean.
Yep.
We can go to Halifax.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. Why not?
Okay.
Okay. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Well, I'm glad that I forgot because now I can tell you. Bristol and I watched Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island.
Did you watch also Return to Zombie Island?
No, but we were going to. Oh. And it was so good.
I know.
I forgot it was so good.
It's Montana's favorite.
I haven't seen that one in such a long time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so long.
Yeah, it's Montana's favorite, so we watch it. We've been watching it every year for the past couple years.
I love that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how old it is.
Yeah, you know? Old AF.
Yeah, because I think when I watched it last was probably 10 years ago. And the relative difference isn't that intense, but now, the quality difference is so intense.
Yeah, I know.
It's, wild.
I know.
Anyway, we watched that. We've also been keeping up with Vox Machina.
Oh, nice.
Which is so good. And, today is November 2nd, right? Yeah. This episode probably won't come out for a couple of weeks, or a week, maybe.
Next week.
Who knows? So Halloween is over, quote unquote, but I still have a lot of Halloween movies I need to watch. And I think also this year Samhain isn't actually until the 6th.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there's time. It's still spooky.
It's still spooky.
This whole week is spooky.
Yeah, it is. You're not allowed to start celebrating the holidays until after the 11th.
Yes,
this
is just true.
A rule.
This is true. This does make sense.
It's just a rule people follow.
Yeah.
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 But I am excited for the holidays.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Also, I felt an earthquake last night, but it wasn't a real earthquake. It was just a body earthquake.
A body quake.
Body quake.
It's called a stress-induced body quake.
Honestly, thank you for diagnosing me. It's so true.
You're
though.
Welcome.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it was a spirit.
Maybe, but okay, this is how it happened. In my dream, I was there's an earthquake. And then I woke up. And then
you were shaking.
Yeah, but it didn't feel like my body was shaking. It felt like the whole world was shaking.
Maybe it's left over from your dream. Maybe your dream and reality merged for a bit.
Yeah. And then I was laying on my side and then I flipped onto my back and then it felt like my heart was do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And I was uh-oh, am I going to die? And then I started thinking about water going everywhere because I thought it was a real earthquake.
Oh,
and then
God.
I started thinking about the big one and when the big one's going to happen. And
yeah.
Yeah, so that was my 5 a.m. moment.
Oh, I think about that too sometimes, but then I just say, don't think about it. It'll just happen one day. There's nothing you can do about it.
That's right. It'll just come.
It'll just come.
YOLO.
Yeah. My jaw hurts.
What did you do to your jaw?
Well, on Thursday, I got a filling.
Oh.
In my molar.
Oh, God. Nightmare.
Yeah. And so where they jab me with the needle to numb me, they had to numb me because the cavity was inside of my tooth. So they had to drill into my tooth.
Yeah. That's typical.
Yeah. But where they poked me with the needle, it hurts my jaw.
No. Is there any little bump or anything, or pain?
It just is sore.
Yeah. Keep an eye on it. I feel like sometimes that happens because the way that they put the needle in, or if they do it a bit too far or whatever.
But the needle's so huge.
I know.
So gross. When he was like, okay, I'm going to numb it, I was like... I can't. I had to look away. I was like, oh my God. And then he left it. He held it in my mouth for so long. I was like, sir, get this fucking thing out of my mouth.
Sir, listen.
Listen, doctor, dentist man, get it out of my mouth.
Holy smokes.
Anyway, it only took half an hour for the whole filling to be done.
That's good. And what? It was like $7 million.
Yeah, it was a bit more than they estimated originally because the cavity was bigger than they thought.
Okay. I didn't know that they're going by size of cavity. I thought they were just going by cavity. No. Either yes or no, check the box.
It depends on what they have to do to it.
Holy shit.
But starting 2025, free dental.
Wait, what?
Yeah. It's already out for seniors and little kids, I think.
Yeah.
2025, free dental for everyone.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Looking under a certain income level, or?
I don't know. I think it's for everyone.
What?
I'm going to look it up for you.
Sarah's checking. That would be fucking amazing. And also, why did it take so long?
I don't know. Okay.
Okay.
Got it. So I'm pretty sure in 2025, it'll roll out for... everyone else, all Canadians.
Wow.
So this is how to know if you're eligible.
Okay, give it to me.
No access to dental insurance.
True.
An adjusted family net income of less than $90,000.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. And then...
Oh, that's pretty low, I guess. Well, I mean, that's high. That's a lot of money, but...
Yeah.
A family income, that would mean only like... Well, that's great. It's amazing.
But that's net, not gross.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, because gross is before taxes, right? And net is after taxes?
Net is everything you catch. So, yeah.
Is that really the analogy you used?
Double check that net is after taxes because that's what I was taught one time.
I'm pretty sure it is.
In grade 9, and it stuck with me.
Is net... The net income... is a take-home pay.
That's right. Yeah. So everything you catch in your net.
Yeah, exactly.
So for those out there who struggle with understanding gross versus net, like me, you just use net as what you catch in your net. That's what you take home.
And then be a Canadian resident for tax purposes and have filed their tax return in the previous year.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's open to seniors. And then this past summer, it was children under 18 years old. And then starting 2025, all remaining eligible Canadian residents. So everybody.
Yay.
Yay.
Yay. Free dental.
Yay. Free dental for us.
So
lower income.
I wonder how this works. So say if you have... coverage,
mm-hmm.
then
you're not eligible.
So then you just have to pay if you have any kind of coverage. Like, what if you have shit coverage and then you still have to pay?
I guess you still have to pay. I guess it's only for people who don't have access to insurance.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. I guess a lot of dental insurance is like a 100p up to X amount of dollars. Right?
Mine is not good. Montana, cover your ears. Stop. Montana, skip forward in this.
Montana, skip right forward now. 30 seconds.
Ours is 20%.
Oh.
So, Yeah, so in the past month, I went to the dentist twice. I went for a cleaning, and then I had my filling. Each time was almost $400. I'm getting like $60 back.
What? Wait.
Or whatever 20% is from like $360.
Ugh. God, yeah, dude.
It sucks.
You get 20% back?
Yeah, so the insurance company's reimbursing me 20%.
So that means with this new dental coverage in 2025,
mm-hmm.
you would still have to do your coverage.
Yeah, unless...
Can't you deny that coverage, though, through work?
Yeah, it's not my coverage. It's Montana's insurance.
Right. So, and I think if you, like, if you're given insurance, you can be like, no, I actually don't want it. And then they just pay you out. I'm pretty sure, right? So then what if you did that and then you could get covered by MSP? These are questions.
I think it's just, well, not having access to dental insurance is defined as not available through your employer at all.
Oh.
I think.
Okay.
Not available through your pension, not purchased by yourself.
Okay.
So like my job, we don't have insurance.
Yeah.
So if Montana didn't have insurance, then I would have free dental, but I don't know if he would, because technically he would
have
access.
Yeah.
Access to getting insurance.
But if you're still in the same jobs, like say if this was next year, then you could get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So they do preventative services, so the scaling, polishing, all that stuff. Diagnostic services, including exams and x-rays, fillings, root canals, prosthetic services, so dentures, deep scaling, and it says oral surgery services, including extraction. So I wonder if that also means like wisdom teeth removal.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yay.
Hopefully. And now we just need free eye care, people. Come on now.
Welcome to our dentist podcast.
Welcome to our dental podcast where we talk about all the free services in Canada. And now
I would actually can pass
they please give me free eye care because I can't afford to go to the eye doctor now because I spent so much money at the dentist.
Literally. Yeah.
And I'm like,
okay.
Come on, guys.
Come on.
Come on.
Wow. Wait, so what have you been watching lately?
I caught up on Bob's Burgers.
Wow.
I caught up
Isn't there like 100 seasons of
They're Bob's? On season 15 right now.
Holy shit.
It's still airing. I caught up on The Great North, which is very similar to Bob's Burgers. It's about this family who lives in Alaska.
Oh.
It's really
cute. I love it.
I think you'd really love it. It's actually so sweet. Disney Plus, yeah.
Okay.
And then last night I started catching up on Solar Opposites.
What's that?
It's kind of like a Rick and Morty alien. It's about these aliens.
Mm.
And they're like these two main aliens and they're replicants and they're like, they had to leave their home planet because it exploded from an asteroid and then they landed on Earth because they're meant to go like, they're really meant to go take over other planets.
Oh,
but then
I see.
They landed on Earth, which is, quote, already overpopulated,
so end quote, true.
Which is what they say in the intro.
I love that.
And it's so funny. It's just about their lives on Earth. And
wow. And it's a cartoon as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I love
it's an
cartoons.
Adult cartoon. For sure, because there's a lot of sex and swear and killing in it.
One of my favorite cartoons, which so many people don't like, is Big Mouth.
I love Big Mouth.
I know.
It's so good.
It. It's
Have you
so
seen
good.
Human Resources?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That one's so good, too.
Yeah, it is.
So many people just don't like the raunchiness, but I'm like, give it to me. It's so fucking funny.
I know. I love it.
It's hilarious.
So, yeah, I've been watching those. And then I'm reading a book called Blue Sisters.
Hmm.
I forget who it's by, but that's for my book club. And we're going away literally next weekend, and I am not even halfway through the book. Yeah, we leave on Saturday next week.
Are you supposed to finish the book? You'll finish it.
Yeah, I will.
You'll be fine. Where are you going?
We're going up north. Not actually.
What? I was like, I just imagined you like in a parka somewhere like in
okay no that's not what I meant
the Northwest Territories.
Yeah, Yapper Book Club, Northwest Territory Book Club. No, we're going up island a bit.
Nice.
To a cabin.
Nice. Yeah. That sounds terrifying, but
it
in the woods?
It's not. I mean, kind of. It's on the water.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds so fun.
Yeah, someone we know, it's their cabin.
Oh, that's great.
So they're letting us borrow it.
Amazing.
For the weekend.
That's so exciting.
So super excited about that.
Because you have Monday off, right?
Yep.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah, so we're going Saturday to Monday next weekend.
I'm going home next weekend.
I see that on your calendar. What are you doing?
I'm going to take some photos, and I'm going to help with some photo mounting.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds fun.
Doing some work. Work.
That sounds super fun. Oh, also, I'm getting new tires this week.
Oh.
Courtesy of someone we know.
Really?
Yeah.
For free?
No.
Oh.
They're just helping. They're just bringing them to me.
Oh,
mom's
nice.
Mom's picking them up.
Oh.
And then someone else we know is coming here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so they'll be bringing me the tires.
Yay!
Yay!
Hooray.
Thank you guys for your help.
Thank you for keeping my sister safe.
Well, because I need
winter tires.
Well, they're all season tires, but same diff.
With mud and snow, right?
So yeah, so the tires I have now are mud and snow, but they're all weather tires, so they don't have a snowflake on them.
Mm.
But in order to drive on the Malahat for when we go to Chimanis in December, I have to have a snowflake on my tires.
Yeah.
So I'm getting all season.
Nice.
Tires.
That's great.
Yes.
Yay.
So I'm very excited for that.
So
that will be nice, but now I have to call my mechanic and be like, hey, when can you put my tires on and can it be a Friday? Because I don't work Friday, so that's like the easiest day for me to do anything.
Yeah. It's also busy time for that. Not so bad here. More stressful in places in the interior, for sure.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit stressed. Because also I am going to Vancouver at the start of December.
Bruh, I know.
So, but my friend said that they could possibly pick me up at the terminal. But
perfect.
They're not 100% sure if they're driving or flying in.
Oh, I see.
Because I was like, oh, I wouldn't drive in.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
Well, that's that on that.
Oh, so yeah. For our listeners, there will be probably, there won't be a week coming up where we won't have a, never mind.
No,
Jamie's just staring at me.
I'm staring into space.
Because you have a story.
Yes.
And I have a story.
Today.
So that's the next 2 weeks.
There might be a few weeks in the next couple of months.
Yeah, where
we just can't make it happen.
Yeah.
But
and
we'll try our best.
We'll try really hard not to make it back to back. No new episodes.
Yeah.
Maybe just like 1 week here, there's no new episode.
Yeah. Might be every second week for a little bit because school's getting a little crazy.
Yeah.
So
maybe we just need to have some guests on the podcast and then I can record with a guest.
That would be lovely.
Like Montana.
Our first guest, Montana.
I tell him a ghost story and he tells me about how improbable that all sounds.
Yes, actually.
Because he is such a shaniac and it drives me absolutely fucking crazy.
Oh my god, okay, wait.
I'm like, can you just believe a little bit more for me?
I just thought of a great segment.
Okay.
The segment is that you tell stories to people who are skeptics and then they tell you why it's not real.
But I don't know that many skeptics because I don't...
I'm not. Because we live in Victoria.
Because we live in Victoria and also... Oh, well, Taylor might... Well, Taylor's
well,
not
maybe
here.
The skeptic is always just Montana. Maybe the segment is just with Montana. I'm so...
Next
I
segment
love that.
Is Montana the skeptic.
Yeah.
Tell us your thoughts.
I love it.
Wait, that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
And maybe I can get him to record something later. About how he thinks ghosts aren't real.
Okay, that would
even
be
though he
lovely.
Literally got grabbed by one like a couple years ago.
What?
Yeah, in the apartment. I've
oh,
told
right.
this story before.
Oh
he literally got grabbed by a ghost,
my
and
God.
He's and
And he's like, it wasn't a ghost. He's like,
I don't know what it was. And I'm like, yeah, it was a ghost. Anyway.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Spooky.
Yeah, very sweet. Well, should I maybe start?
We're like half an hour in. Are we yapping?
Are we half an hour? I guess it doesn't tell us.
Oh, yeah, do my it hands. Says.
Oh, 23 minutes.
Yeah. Fuck. Okay, I'm excited.
Okay. So this week I did another double hitter instead of one big story.
Okay.
Because I think they're kind of fun.
When did you do a double hitter before? I don't remember.
Haunted pubs.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah. Well, just because the stories are like shorter, but I'm like trying to find these cool haunted places. But most of the cool haunted places with a lot of ghost activity are like shorter stories.
Yeah.
So then I can just compile them together.
That's perfect.
And I'll probably do like more haunted pubs in the future, as well as this one. And this one is haunted hotels.
Can I say something too? Yeah. I watched last night, you know, Jake Weber.
No.
Okay, for all my Jake Weber fans out there, hey, what's up? I watched an episode that he put out on YouTube. Like, they don't actually do spooky things, but they used to, him and Corey, I think, used to make videos with Sam and Colby back in the day.
Oh.
Like, way back in the day.
Okay.
And so, Jake went with two of his friends.
Oh, I think I know Jake. He's in there. He's in
the old videos.
Okay. Go on.
And they went to the Stanley, but it was so funny because Jake's also already been to the Stanley with Sam and Colby, but he literally doesn't remember that he did that.
Oh my, like, so he went again?
Or he doesn't
again?
Talk about it at all, at least.
Just, like, he's never been there?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I know. Either he doesn't remember, one, or two, he wants to pretend that it didn't happen.
Maybe they don't talk anymore.
We don't talk about Bruno, no. Maybe. It was our wedding day. We were getting married and there wasn't a cloud in the sky.
What?
That's the song.
Oh.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Tell me your freaking story.
Okay, so the first haunted hotel. Oh, by the way, both of them are in Canada.
Ooh.
The first haunted.
Let me guess.
Okay.
Banff? Yep.
Yes.
And Lake Louise?
No, but is that one haunted?
No, I don't know. Banff, and somewhere near the East Coast?
I mean, kind of.
Montreal.
Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Oh, fuck. I should have known. Okay.
Middle of the road.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
So the first one is called the Fort Garry Hotel. And it's downtown in Manitoba. And I mean in Winnipeg.
Downtown Manitoba.
Geography's hard.
Geography's hard for me too, I understand. You ever find yourself downtown Manitoba?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So the Fort Garry Hotel was built between 1911 and 1913 by the Grand Trunk Pacific Railway as a luxury accommodation for upper class travelers.
Nice. Sometimes you finish one sentence and then you expect me to react to it when it's like the most just like okay. Okay. Girl. Oh my God. No, it's, I love it. It's hilarious, but sometimes I just don't know what to say. Okay, it was built for upper class travelers, so fine.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm crying.
Oh my God.
Help.
help. My glasses.
No, I just.
This is like Mr. Halibut and Mr. Lake, but the roles are reversed. Sarah's actually going to pee herself, I think. She Okay, Sarah, get it together.
Sarah, seriously, get it together right now.
No, I just think that, I don't know, maybe you'll say like a funny little quip or something, but then you don't.
I'm sorry, I'm just not that funny. I don't know what to tell you. I'll try to be quippy. Okay, let me put my quip cap on.
Quiplash.
Oh, such a fun game.
Okay, anyway.
Wow.
The Fort Garry Hotel was built as one of many hotels built... Fuck me.
I can't even talk.
Do you need some water?
No. I can't tell if you're laughing or crying anymore.
Okay.
Okay. You got this. I believe in you.
Thank you. It was one of many hotels built by the Grand Trunk Pacific Railway in the early 20th century to encourage tourists to travel their transcontinental routes. Part of this luxury was that each room in the hotel had its own bathroom.
Whoa.
And that was not a thing back then.
No, that's so fancy.
Yeah, so really top of the line.
I love it.
In addition to the bathrooms, the hotel is said to have its own coach who would transport guests between the hotel and the Union train station.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Whoa. It's very fancy indeed.
And the coach would just like wait outside and wait for people to come.
Wow. And just like, all day? That was just their day job?
Yeah.
Just waiting at the dock of the bay.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was designed by Montreal architects George Ross and David McFarlane, who used Ottawa's Chateau...
Stop! Sorry, I don't see what's happening. I don't understand. Oh.
It's literally the cord.
Sorry.
Fuck me. I'm keeping that in. So, Ross and McFarlane used Ottawa's Chateau Laurier as inspiration, which is just this giant, beautiful hotel, essentially.
Okay.
This style is an offshoot of neo-Gothic architecture, which is considered to be unofficially the architectural style of Canada, which I didn't know.
That's kind of like Hatley Castle.
Yeah.
Same kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. The Gothic architecture.
Yeah. The hotel continues to maintain oak paneling, a two-story dining room, brass railings, and stone stairs in the entryway.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like the Titanic. Just a boy who loves the Titanic.
Exactly. The hotel was originally supposed to be named the Selkirk Hotel from the Selkirk, quote, unquote, settlers who came from Scotland to Seattle in the Red River Colony, which was established in 1811 and was the settlement that is now known as Manitoba.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But for some reason, and people don't really know why, the name was changed to the Fort Garry Hotel.
Hmm.
They were
Mr.
just like...
Gary.
Yeah.
Gary the Snail. From SpongeBob.
Yeah. Oh, people don't know why the name changed, but the name does come from Upper Fort Garry, which acted as the Hudson's Bay Company headquarters until 1882.
Mm.
And then afterwards, the land was sold, and all that remains is a gate, which is right beside the Fort Garry Hotel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a hotel there anymore.
No, the hotel... Wait. No, like Fort Garry, as it was from the Hudson Bay Company.
I understand.
All that's left is a gate.
Wow.
That just is now sitting beside the hotel. I don't really
Weird.
Know.
Okay.
When the hotel was completed in December of 1913, it was the city's tallest structure at 13 stories tall.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Heard that's tall for 1913.
I know.
1913, 13 structures, 13th floor. 13 is in bad number.
I thought 13 is supposed to actually be lucky.
Oh, but don't they take 13 floor? Wait. What's the floor number that they usually take out? Yeah, 13. Everything makes sense.
The hotel was later owned by the Canadian National Railway after the Grand Trunk was absorbed into the company. In 1979, it was purchased by John Draper Perrin, a successful entrepreneur who worked for the CN Railway and operated it as an independent hotel until 1987.
Okay.
So he's like, this is mine now. But then during this year, they owed $2.5 million in taxes.
Oh, fuck.
And the hotel was in dire need of renovations to bring it up to modern day standards.
After what? How many years? Well, 70 years, I guess. That was in 87.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, that's so much tax money.
I know.
How are they supposed to pay that back?
So the hotel was briefly owned by the city of Winnipeg before being taken over by Raymond Mellifont.
Okay.
A prominent Quebec hotel owner who promised to invest $12 million into renovations.
Whoa. And who is this Raymond man?
I don't know. He's a hotel owner from Quebec.
You ever play that game on the GameCube? Raymond?
No.
I mean, sorry, Game Boy?
No.
Okay.
Okay. What was it about?
I don't know. You're just this guy. Just this little guy.
Oh, I think I've seen
You're kind of like a little bird guy thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And so I'm picturing him as that.
Okay.
But he has $12 million to put into a hotel.
Just for renovations.
Wow.
So the hotel reopened.
What about the taxes?
I guess they were paid. Okay. I don't really know. The hotel reopened in 1988 with a big black tie party. Fancy.
They did all those Okay. Oh, hold on. They did $12 million worth of renovations in a year?
I guess so, yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
You know what they say, though, double the cost, double the time.
Raymond was like, get it done, bitches.
Just like, what's his face? From Hatley Castle.
Yeah, Dunsmuir.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 1989 and 2001, the hotel was recognized with a Heritage Winnipeg Conservation Award. So it got it twice. I don't know how that works.
Okay.
In 2009, the hotel exchanged hands again and was rebranded as the Fort Garry Hotel, Spa, and Conference Center.
Hmm.
In 2000, sounds nice. Yeah. In 2013, it had its 100th anniversary.
Hmm.
Congratulations.
Wait, that means... math meme. That it's gonna have... It's a one. It already had its 120th anniversary last year.
Yeah. No, it would be 110th.
Oh. Fuck. Oops. That's why I math meme.
Jesus fucking Christ. Now, all that said, the hotel is beautiful. That's great. But it had two very unlucky fires.
Oh.
Yeah. The first was in June of 1954, although it was contained on the 12th floor of the hotel. Everyone was okay. No one died.
Phew.
Another fire happened in December of 1971 on the 7th and 8th floors and caused over $1 million in damages.
Oh, shit.
So I think that's why they owed so much taxes. Yeah, 10 years later?
Yeah, true.
So now we'll move on to the hauntings. The most infamous haunting of the hotel is that of room 202. It's said that a woman committed suicide after hearing of the death of her husband, who's said to have died by being struck by a horse-drawn carriage in the 1920s.
Oh no, how come I feel like I recognize this story?
Yeah, apparently he like went out to get her some like pain medication or something.
Oh,
and
that's
then he died.
Oh, so sad. That's really sad.
Her. I know.
Oh my God.
Overcome with grief, she hung herself in the room's closet.
Oh.
Although the hotel disputes this is the way she killed herself.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. What did they say?
I mean, nothing. I didn't see anything that the hotel said. They just were like, no, she didn't hang herself. She just, yeah, I don't know, maybe she cut herself. Maybe.
Oh, ugh.
I don't really know.
Well, that's a big difference. They would know.
I know. I think they just don't want to say.
Yeah, fair.
Staff members have reported seeing blood dripping down the walls.
Oh my God.
When entering the room. Yeah. Guests have seen the apparition of a woman in a cloak hovering over the foot of the bed.
Oh, I hate foot of the bed stuff.
A former Ontario Liberal MP, Brenda Chamberlain, claims that during a stay in 2004, she was awoken by the sensation of someone getting into bed with her on two different occasions.
Oh my gosh.
She said, quote, "It was like somebody was settling into position next to me. I actually felt the bed move," unquote.
That's so scary. That was like me last night, kind of, but not.
Yeah. Some people claim they hear footsteps around the bed at night, like moving around the bed. Some can hear wet footsteps come out of the bathroom.
Ooh.
And
hot.
Yeah. Some guests have heard wire hangers scraping around inside the closet while it's closed.
Okay. I was going to say that's a lot of bed stuff, but it sounds like there's other stuff happening. So. Yeah.
Well, and I feel like the room is probably quite small. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the bed probably takes up the whole room. Oh, this ghost is also said to haunt the hotel's lounge and has been witnessed by guests and staff crying in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And some have said that they can even hear her disembodied sobbing.
That's so sad.
Yeah. So that's the haunting of room 202. As for the rest of the hotel, some staff have reported seeing another apparition of a young woman dressed in a robe walking down the hallway.
Hmm. But not the same.
No, it's not a different the same one. Person. Other guests in other rooms report seeing someone standing at the end of their beds as well. Sometimes a man and sometimes a woman in a ball gown.
Ooh.
Like they go into a party. Because there's like three ballrooms in this hotel.
Whoa.
It's very extravagant.
That's huge.
They used to have a bunch of parties there.
So I would love to go to a ball.
Me too.
It would be so fun.
I know.
Giant ball gown, ball.
Yeah, champagne all night. Sounds so
fun. Popping bottles at the ball. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Yeah.
That's a ball theme song.
In 1989, an employee was cleaning the kitchen overnight. At around 4 a.m., he went up the back stairway to leave. When he heard weird sounds coming from one of the dining rooms, he grabbed the key because he was confused, opened the door, and reported he saw an apparition sitting at a table. Just a guy, just a man, sitting at a table. He went to get another employee to show them, but when they returned, the figure vanished.
Whoa.
Yeah, wait, it was just a guy, like, in a suit sitting at one of the tables.
Why did he go get an employee?
Because he was like, what the fuck did I just see? Someone else needs to see this, otherwise people will think I'm crazy.
But why didn't he just think it was a guy? Like an alive guy?
Well, so if it was an alive guy, then the other employee could help get him out.
Oh, they needed him out.
Well, yeah, did you not hear me? It was locked.
Okay.
The dining room was closed, shut down. It was 4 a.m.
Oh, 4 a.m.
Okay, Jamie's not listening.
I'm listening. I'm just my brain.
Another story, one employee recalled that while working at 5 a.m., they went into the staff bathroom and instantly felt cold chills run over their body.
Ooh.
When they turned around, they saw a skirt laying on the floor.
What?
And a small excess panel on the wall had opened on its own.
What the hell?
Yeah.
A real skirt?
Yeah, there's just a skirt on the ground.
Not a ghost skirt?
I don't know.
Skirt?
I don't really know. This employee recalled that for the rest of the day, they felt a weight on their back. Like they were giving someone a piggyback ride.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That's so spooky.
At the end of their shift, they went back into the washroom before leaving and said, quote, "You can get off now," end quote. And they instantly felt lighter.
What?
Like someone got off of them.
That's so weird.
So they were
dude.
Like giving a ghost a piggyback all day.
Or a demon.
Ew.
Yeah, I know.
I
Sorry.
Guess maybe. One guest at the hotel wrote their experience from a stay in 2001 on TripAdvisor.
Mm-hmm.
So this is their experience. On their first night, they heard music from a clock radio coming from next door at 2:56 a.m. Mm-hmm.
3 a.m. is then, the witching hour.
The next night, they heard the music again at the same time, but they also heard noises coming from the closet, like someone was moving around the stuff hanging up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like in room 202.
Spooky.
Same stuff. On the third night, it all happened again. The clock radio next door. And then stuff moving in the closet. Getting frustrated from no sleep, the person said, quote, please stop, I just need to sleep, end quote. Afterwards, the bed moved. Jamie.
Oh, my God.
The blankets tightened around them, and they felt a heavy weight on top of them as if someone laid down on them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
In not a sexy way.
Not a sexy way.
Oh, God.
Like when, if someone's, sucks. Like, someone's trying to crush you.
Spooky.
Again, they said, quote, please just go away, end aww. Quote. And whatever was there with her left.
Wow, that's great.
They actually kind of listened.
That's good. You can make things listen to you.
Yeah.
If you ask them to leave.
Mm-hmm. This person then changed rooms the next day for the rest of their stay at the hotel because they were like, I'm so sleep deprived. I need to go to sleep.
Yeah.
This is awful.
I would probably do the same.
Mm-hmm. One previous owner, or now owner, I'm not really sure. Ida Albo used to live at the hotel with her husband, Richard Bell. She shared that once while sleeping in room 528, she awoke to see Richard enter the room and sit on the bed after having a big fight earlier that evening. So she went to sleep alone and then he came back.
Mm-hmm.
But when she rolled over to speak with him, there was no one there.
Oh, uh-oh. A ghost was like, we gotta remedy this situation.
Yeah, a ghost was like, listen, I heard you guys fighting. And Richard, you just need to go to bed.
Yeah.
And lastly, apparently an overnight security guard once found 10 candles on the floor in the shape of a star.
Uh-oh.
In a locked ballroom. But there were no events happening in the ballroom.
Except a satanic ritual. Though, remember we learned pentagrams are actually good.
Yeah, they ward off evil.
Yeah.
So maybe it was someone trying to ward off... What? Maybe someone was trying to ward off evil in the ballroom.
Yeah.
We don't know.
That's great.
So that's the Fort Garry Hotel in Winnipeg.
Spooky.
Yep.
In downtown Manitoba.
Now, my second hotel, as Jamie guessed quite correctly, is the Banff Springs Hotel.
Hey, do you remember when I was talking about that architect?
Which one?
Wait, did I do a story on this or am I just what remembering architect? Something?
I don't know.
I can do the story. I can do a story on this. Okay, there's this architect who came from England and he designed the Empress here.
Yeah.
And he also designed the Banff Hotel.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not... He's Bad News Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do... You could do a story on him.
Mm-hmm.
So, Banff Springs. Obviously, it's in Banff National Park in Banff, Alberta. Some people... Who, I don't know. So we have listeners in America.
It's true.
Hi.
Banff Springs Hotel is in Banff, Albert National Park, which is in
Banff, Alberta.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for the clarification.
Yes. The Banff Springs Hotel opened in 1888 by the CP Railway and is one of the earliest of, quote, Canada's Grand Railway Hotels, end quote.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm, fancy. Although, when you think of, like, Grand Hotel, it was originally a wooden 5-story tall building.
Yeah.
But it's designed by Bruce Price. That's not the guy who did the Empress.
No. Maybe I'm thinking of someone else.
Oh, well, maybe it's later when they did the renovations.
Maybe.
Anyway, and accommodated 280 guests by 1902.
Maybe also it wasn't the Banff Springs Hotel. Maybe it was a different
hotel. Like Louise?
Yeah, or like Jasper or something.
Oh, maybe. This original wooden structure, the original hotel, eventually became the north wing of the hotel after many extensions and was actually destroyed by a fire in 1926.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Woof.
The original structure cost $250,000 to make.
In 1906 dollars?
In 1888 dollars.
Okay, in 1888 dollars, $205,000 is...
No, 250.
$250,000 in 1888 dollars is $1.25 million in today's dollars.
I didn't actually do the conversion.
Come on, you know I love this game.
But I love it too. Okay, hold on, I'll look it up.
Good.
You're probably close.
1.25, give me the money.
Okay, drum roll please. $25 million.
What? Bro, I was way off. I was way off.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. Okay.
Oh no, wait. Did I put one too many zeros?
That would be... Yeah, that would be crazy.
One, two, three. I did enter a number, you idiot. Oh, sorry. It's eight million.
Okay, that's still...
That's a lot.
Almost eight times the amount that I said.
Yeah, it's 8.2.
Six times, I think.
It's 8.2 million
more
in today's money.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. So it costs... $8.2 million to make this five-story wooden structure of a hotel.
That's kind of hilarious.
I know. And if you actually look at pictures of it, it kind of just looks like a log cabin.
Oh, that sounds nice. You know what's funny? Yeah. I was picturing like a slatted, falling down structure, but I guess like most structures are wooden. Like even this house is like a wooden structure. Yeah. So.
Well, and... What else would they have used in 1888?
Stone?
They're
in Banff.
It's like, true, so actually. There's so many mountains there in the freaking Rockies. Stuff?
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know. I don't know what it's they were thinking.
It's way cheaper, I think.
Yeah. And the hotel was originally named for the natural hot springs on Sulphur Mountain, which are one of the many mountains surrounding Banff.
Beautiful.
In the Rockies. The original hotel had architectural elements from Scottish baronial architecture and the chateaus of the Loire Valley. This blend of styles would eventually lead to the chateau-esque style used for most of the Grand Railway hotels in Canada.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
These styles include steep pitched roofs, pointer dormers, and corner turrets. I would love a corner turret.
Would you, though?
Yeah.
You would have to get specific furniture or just be really good at feng shui.
I really want one. Okay. The Banff Hotel also has elements from the arts and crafts movement of the British Isles in the late 1800s.
That's cool.
This includes rounded gables and rough stone masonry.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds pretty.
It is pretty. The present hotel is comprised of multiple buildings, with the main hotel consisting of an 11-story tower completed in 1914, designed by Walter Painter.
What?
This addition alone cost $2 million.
What?
And added 300 guest rooms to the hotel.
What? Wait, $2 million in what year?
I guess the end year was 1914, so...
Okay, so that's like 20 million. Let's She's see. Opening the calculator. She's typing it in. So it's like a cylindrical tower.
No.
Oh. Why is it called the tower? Oh, is it a square tower?
Yeah.
Boo.
$63 million. What the hell? $63 million? Okay.
Wacky.
That's insane. The hotel was even considered to be Canada's tallest building at one point.
What?
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
At 11 stories. It's not very tall. No.
It's tiny.
And a north and south wing were added in 1927 and 1928, respectively. These wings were designed by John Orrick. And I think that's the end of the additions, really.
Thank you for the construction.
You're welcome. The hotel saw an uptick in popularity in the 1930s when Queen Elizabeth visited on her royal tour in Canada. And it was at this time that the hotel became considered the Castle of the Rockies.
Ooh, pretty.
Yes. In 1968, the building went through a winterization process. So before, it was only used in the summer.
Oh, interesting.
Until the late 60s, it was only used in the summer, which is crazy because the ski resorts.
Yeah, but I feel like the ski resorts, one, didn't exist.
No, they did.
What?
Yeah.
How are people even getting around in the winter?
In the late 60s?
I guess they were just traveling by car in really sketchy ways.
The Sunshine Village Ski Resort was built slash became a ski resort in like the 20s.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why I saw my research.
Wild.
But I guess
or they... some buggy vibe?
Well, they...
the snow?
I guess. I mean, that ski resort does have its own, like, accommodation.
Okay.
But over the years, it's gotten bigger, and so a lot of people go to the Banff Springs, and they're like, I'm here to go skiing. Anyway.
That's what they sound like.
So it went through a winterization process in order for it to operate year-round. So this brought way more people to the hotel, which allowed it to further flourish as a luxurious spot, especially with the ski resorts close by. In 1988, the buildings that make up the Banff Hotel were designated as a National Historic Site of Canada. In 2001, the company changed to the Company of Fairmont Hotels and Resorts. And was thus changed to the Fairmont Banff Springs Hotel.
Oh, yes. Okay.
The hotel currently has 757 rooms and suites and contains 12 restaurants.
Wait, what?
It has 12 restaurants.
Wait. We should go.
I know. I actually, you know how many times we've driven through Banff?
I know.
And we've never stayed in that hotel?
I know. I even went through there on a train once.
Exactly.
That was fun. It's expensive, I bet, though.
I know. But so, I really want to go.
One day.
One day. We'll go in the winter when it's all pretty.
And we'll ghost hunt.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yes.
So, the ghosts of the Banff Springs Hotel. There's a couple very common ones. One is the bride. She's from around the 1920s, of course. A young couple decided to get married at the hotel around the time it first opened. Like one of the after some additions. The bride, of course, wore a beautiful, long, big white gown. While she was walking down the stairs, something startled her.
What?
And she fell down the staircase.
What?
Some say that her heel caught the banister or the hem of her dress. And others say that a candle almost caught her dress on fire. So she was like, oh no, my dress. Mm. And then she tripped and fell down the stairs and she died.
What the fuck?
On her wedding day. Just walking down the stairs to go get married.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so sad. That's terrible.
So many people see a veiled figure glide across the stairwell, even seeing the shadow of her gown billow behind her as she walks down.
Wow.
Others claim to see an apparition in the upstairs ballroom who dances throughout the space in a wedding dress, perhaps waiting for her beloved for their first dance that they never had.
That's really sad.
I know.
It's so sad.
I know. Another ghost that is very common is Sam the Bellman. Sam McCauley, an elderly Scotsman who served as a bellhop throughout the mid-20th century. He passed in 1975. He is said to be extremely kind and helpful, and some people say his spirit has assisted them with their bags.
It's really cute.
I know. He's actually very sweet.
I love that.
It's said that he retired multiple times in his life, but kept coming back to the hotel to continue the work he loved. He just loved his job as a bellman.
Wow.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah, vibe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good job.
Two women called upon the front desk one day for service after their guest room key wouldn't work. When the present bellhop didn't respond for a few minutes, they walked back to their room feeling defeated. It was like 10 minutes and no one came to help them. I was like, okay, you're supposed to be a luxury hotel.
Yeah, true.
Suddenly, another staff member representing Sam's description in his 1960s uniform approached their door and unlocked it for them.
What?
And he helped them get in their room.
That's so cute.
Other guests have
Wait,
seen...
Wait, how did he have the key for that?
I don't know. He's a ghost. Maybe he just touched the door and it opened.
True.
Other guests have seen Sam in his old office, which is now a guest room.
Aww.
Some have even seen an apparition materialize before them on the 6th, 7th, and 9th floors of the hotel, all matching Sam's description.
Wow, he's seen a lot then.
Mm-hmm. At one point when he was alive, Sam told his friends and coworkers that when he died, he would return to haunt the hotel. So I guess he kept his word.
Wow, I love that.
Mm-hmm. He just is still hanging out. He just left his job there.
That's really cute.
I know.
He's still just helping.
Mm-hmm.
So sweet.
Another really, this one's really weird. There's a secret room in the hotel.
Okay.
There's a secret room.
Okay.
Secret tunnel.
What's that from?
Secret tunnel.
Oh, like dun 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 dun.
Okay, anyway, I guess you don't watch Avatar.
Nope.
During construction of the original wooden building in 1888, a mistake was made by the contractors where there was a room with no windows or doors.
Wow, I'm
They just
not
really,
surprised.
Like, messed
Wait,
up.
How did they build it without a door?
I guess they, like, put up the frame and they were like, oh, shit.
Oh, no, so windows, like, the inside of the building wouldn't be finished.
Yeah.
Because it couldn't be.
Yeah.
Because then how would you get out?
I don't know, Jamie. I'm just telling you what happened. This Listen, actually happened. There's record of this.
I believe it. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think it's just when they were doing the framing.
Huh. Okay.
And on the inside. The inside framing.
Yeah.
So
no,
the outside
was
already done.
I know, but if you imagine, like, a room, say, like, this room that we're in
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, they didn't
now,
build the room while they were in it.
Right, so the inside would just be, like, bare studs.
Probably.
Because you wouldn't be able to finish it.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I'm curious.
I don't know how
I
they used
see
to...
a picture.
Well, I don't know how they used to build things in 1888.
Honestly, true. They just fucking slapped it together.
Yeah, so
slapped
the...
up some
exactly.
slats.
Mm-hmm. This room was later discovered after the fire that happened in 1926.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And let me guess, someone was in there.
No, but people have seen apparitions roaming around the hallway outside of this room.
Hmm.
They're just hanging out. Maybe that's their room.
Maybe.
Maybe the ghosts
that's
will stay
where they
in that
go.
Room.
Yeah. Because only they can
they
get
live.
In.
Yeah, yeah. But there's no furniture for them or anything.
Yeah, true. It's kinda they have lame. Ghost furniture.
Yeah. And now we'll move on to haunted rooms. Room 873 is said to have been the scene of a horrible family murder wherein the father killed his wife and daughter before taking his own life.
Oof.
After the crime, the door was bricked up and plastered over to look like the rest of the hallway.
What?
Because... guess who stayed in this room before it was closed, reported being woken up by blood-curdling screams, having the lights turned on and off, and bloody handprints appearing on the mirror.
Holy,
and then
let
going
me guess.
Away when, like, the cleaners would come in.
Stephen King.
Maybe.
Oh, wait, didn't you say guess who? Oh,
no?
Guests. Guests who stayed in the room. I get it. Not guess who stayed in the
oh,
room.
Oh, no. Guests. Stephen
That's
King
so
has
scary.
Not stayed in the Banff Springs Hotel, as far as I know.
Well, he might have.
That's true.
But he definitely stayed at the Stanley.
Yeah.
That's a story to cover.
Yeah, definitely. Guests also report seeing apparitions outside of this room, likely those of the family who lost their lives. One includes that of a young girl who stands partially in the wall and partially in the hallway, likely standing where the doorway of that room should be.
Oh, I mm-hmm. see. Sorry, I know I shouldn't laugh, but it's funny.
It is kind of funny. She's like half poking out of the wall. What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Apparently the staff at the hotel are not allowed to speak of this room.
Ooh.
And have scripted answers to when guests become a bit too curious about
what?
The room that doesn't exist anymore.
Whoa, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another haunted room is room 692. in this room, guests have reported that pillows are yanked from under their heads while they're sleeping, and they're pushed out of bed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's it. But I mean, yeah. And then one last ghost. It's not super scary. It's actually kind of funny. It's that of a bartender who has been witnessed to inform guests that they've had enough to drink and that it's time for them to go to bed.
Wow. I love that.
And that's the Banff Springs Hotel. And that is my haunted hotel segment.
That was so good.
Thank you.
I'm actually surprised that there's not more like murder stories. Seem like a lot of accidental or like individual deaths.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. But that's what I know about those two hotels.
That's great.
Yeah. Well,
thank you.
Thank you. That was really, you know, I thought it would be short and sweet.
Yeah.
But I guess it wasn't that short.
This might be one of our longer episodes. It was a slow one.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of like,
We're just chilling.
We're just chilling.
Yeah.
We need a chill episode every now and then.
It's so true.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening, everybody.
Thank you for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Go check out pictures of these hotels. They're pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
If you are ever in Banff and you are rich, you should probably stay at the Banff Springs Hotel. Most people who go to Banff are rich, so, you know, it's a rich town.
It's true.
If you're ever in downtown Manitoba, Winnipeg, go check out Fort Garry Hotel. It's still very grand in there, so cool. It would be a cool place to check out.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. And we will see you
next time.
Bye.
Okay. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to share your own ghost stories, you can email us at ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at ghoulsocietypod.
You can find trigger warnings and resources in the description of each week's episode.
Bye.
Ha ha ha.